preaching and ministry. Amen. Brother Ballou, Brother Ed Ballou, I think about him all the time. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 8 and verse number 26 this morning. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter number 8. And verse number 26. All right, Matthew the publican. Matthew chapter number 8 and verse number 26. And he saith unto them, Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith? Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. But the men marveled, saying, What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Father, bless this holy word now. Give me the strength I need to preach it. That's what you call me for, Lord. That's why I'm in this world. That's why you've left me here. And that's why you gave me life. Bless your righteous name. I am at full and complete peace in doing what I do. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Matthew chapter number 20. Chapter number 8 and verse number 27. What manner of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now, if the wind had just stopped blowing, then the sea would have continued to move. Water doesn't stop just like that. Yet the water and the wind both ceased to rage at the same time. And it absolutely blew the mind of those disciples. They couldn't compute what they had just seen. There was no way to categorize it. There was nothing you could write down about it. There was no way to compare it to anything. He had just manifested the power of the Creator, and it wasn't lost on them. They understood that the one that just said that had the power over creation. And my dear friend, that's a big deal. It is in His Word that things come into existence. He doesn't need anything to respond. There doesn't need to be an intelligence on the other end. When he simply said wind and sea, there's no mind to hear what he said. But his power in his word. When he came by, the Bible said in the book of Ezekiel chapter 16, and saw this child, newborn babe, still in its afterbirth. He looked at it and said, Live. That's a command that reaches past all problems, reaches deep into the heart and into the soul, and says, Live. And that child lived, believe me. That same word that I'm preaching to you this morning from the Word of God, not my word, my word's nothing. My words can fall to the ground just like yours and not mean a thing. But the Word of God abideth forever. And what I'm preaching to you this morning has the power to save your soul. Amen. It has the power to heal your body. Amen. It has the power to deliver you from whatever hell you're in today. Amen. It has the power to do above and beyond all that you ask or think. It is the Word, the begotten Word, the engrafted Word that is able to save our soul. And so these apostles said, What manner of man? Let me tell you what manner of man he was. No man spake like this man. No man ever walked shoulder to shoulder with this man. No man could ever rise to the place of this man. This man was head and shoulders above and beyond all that ever walked on the face of this earth. And yet he was a man walking amongst us. But he revealed a secret. On this day when he stopped the wind and the rain, he revealed a secret. And that secret was, I'm the Creator. I'm the one that has power to speak Mars into existence. I can speak the Milky Way into existence. I can bring universes into existence. And my friend, make no mistake, that's exactly what he did. A couple of days ago, I was reading the scientific journal. And a lot of people have their soul tied up in this kind of thing. They're trusting this for, my dear friends, for real information. Just how did the earth, our home and place where life as we know it, evolved, come to be created in the first place?
in some fiery furnace atop a great mountain, or some divine forge with a hammer of the gods shaping it out of pure ether? How about from a great ocean known as chaos, where something was created out of nothing and then filled with all living creatures, mocking and making fun, mocking the Bible that you have in your hands that tells you who God is and who you are and the only way to heaven? They mock this book. They don't believe this book. So, my dear friend, you smart people, give me something then. If you're going to tear my Bible up, let's hear the great wisdom that you have to offer. One place they said this cloud of gas and dust was disturbed, perhaps, by the explosion of a nearby storm. What do you mean, perhaps? Perhaps is conditional. Perhaps means it possibly could have. Yet you're staking your soul on it. This consists of the Earth's surface being under continuous bombardment by meteorites and intense volcanism, which is believed. You understand what I'm saying? Which is believed. Yet kids in school swallow this garbage as if they're getting fact. The most common theory, known as the giant impact hypothesis, the most common theory. Another place says, nevertheless, it is widely understood. Oh, is it really? What kind of authority is that? Though some scientists argue, sure they do, you're not about as scientific as a mad dog running in the street. Now, let's do the summation of all of this. This great wisdom of this scientific paper, listen to this. And it all began with a lot of dust, fire, and some serious impacts. From this, the sun, moon, earth, and life as we know it were all created. My, what a fool. I feel sorry for an idiot like that. You mean you reject that book that tells me, the one that said, be still? And he brought it into stillness. Be calm. Stop. The one who spoke into existence everything that exists. Why? Because he's Almighty God. That's why. You can't pull him down to your level. You can't put him under a microscope. You can't analyze him like a human being. He's Almighty God. And I'm going to tell you something. If you knew him 1,000 years, if you knew him 1,000,000 years, you would never be able to take in completely who he is. He's above and beyond our understanding. Yet he came down to us and said, peace be still. And the wind ceased and the sea stopped raging and he walked on the water. Amen. So what manner of man is this? He's the man that if you'll meet him this morning before you walk out this back door, he'll make every bit of a difference in your life that you've ever had made. He'll do more for you ever thought could ever happen to you. All the problems that you came in here with this morning, he, not it. He is the answer to your problems. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen. 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 The Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 26. They had arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man, which had devils long time and wear no clothes. Well, good night. Turn your TV on. My goodness, people. All you got to do is turn on the television. Amen. They're stripped off naked now. And if that's not enough, just walk down any street in this town. And my friend, I'm going to tell you, you'll get an eyeful wherever you go. Naked. They were naked. And neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. And when he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice. What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Of God Most High, I beseech thee, torment me not. This is why some of you wiggle and worm. This is why some of you are so uncomfortable. I can look at your faces in here this morning. I'm going to tell you right now, I've been looking at faces for over 40 years. I can read your soul. Amen. You're not fooling anybody. You're as miserable as you can be. You're one out of this place. I'll tell you why you won't out. Because the Holy Ghost of God is in here. You'd rather be with your drunk buddies out here hooping and hollering, fornicating, or running wild. But you don't want to be in the house of God. Have I got your number? You better believe I have. You want me to leave, preacher? No, stay. Bring your buddies with you. Bring the sorriest that you've ever met and bring them in here. Get them under the Word of God and they can be saved. Amen, amen, amen. That's why you squirm. That's why you don't want to come to church. Some people, you have to drag them to church. I saw a thing the other day that would just tickle you to death. Tickle you to death. You know how dogs are. And they've been telling you they're going to take them to the veterinarian. And this one dog's sitting on the bed. And this guy's got a shoe. And he's talking into the shoe like it's a telephone. That's all right. And all he says is vet. And the moment he says vet, that dog starts barking at him because he doesn't want to go to the vet. And then they showed some dogs that they had a harness on them. And they showed them inside the vet's office. And here they're pulling them. And that dog is pushing just as hard as it can. It doesn't want to go to the vet. Not at all. They don't like veterinarians. And here's one little dog. They're clipping his toenails. I mean, all they do is just clipping his toenail. And they just clip a toenail. That's one toenail. You'd think that dog was dying. It's amazing, folks. Animals can be so funny. Amen. And boy, do I see them in here. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. There's some of you in here. Get me out of here. Amen. What a thing. Verse number 29, Luke chapter 8. He commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oft times it caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters. And he brake the bands and driven to the devil into the wilderness. No peace for this one. The Bible said, no peace saith my God to the wicked. There's nowhere to run. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. I can't get away from you. Jonah bought a tip. He bought a ticket to Tarshish. It didn't do him any good. And the Bible said plainly that God Almighty is there wherever you go. Jehovah Shammah. And that Shammah means God is there. He is present, ever present. It's called the omnipresence of God. Can't get away from him. Some of you think I want to run away from God. You kidding? You can't outrun him and you can't run away from him. The smartest thing you ever did today is come back to him. Come back to him. Say, how do I know where to come? Come where it started. Come back where it started. Every one of you have got a starting place. If you know the Lord, you got a starting place. Go back there. Go back when it was simple. Back when you were a babe. Back when you weren't so full of... Your mind has been messed up. People have messed you up. You've been watching people. You've been watching things. You've been watching yourself. And some of you probably have drifted off in the garbage you never thought you'd ever do again. And here you are doing that very same thing. Come back to him. Amen. 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 He said, what's your name? He said, Legion. Legion's a Roman... like a company or so forth. It's a battle. It's a Roman battle battalion. It's about 5,000 to 6,000, depending on what time you read in history. That's a lot of demons. Just the other day, this monster walked into a bedroom. He took a little 4-year-old child out of the bed. 4 years old, his little brother sleeping in there with him. And you could see the little boy picked him up, and the little boy was looking at him. This monster carried that little 4-year-old boy outside and stabbed him to death. That wasn't enough. He came back in to get his brother. Hey, listen, folks. That's demonic. That's demon. That's a demon straight out of hell. Came back to get him, and that's when they caught him. Because he'd already done his deed, his fiend. He's a fiend. A horrible monster. And yet he killed that little boy. Why'd he do it? Because the demon did it. Demons, friend, are more wicked and vile than the most wicked, vile you've ever seen. Some of you have done some wicked, godless, vile things in your life. Some of you have seen things done. Some of you have run with people that have done those kind of things. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care what you've seen. A demon is more wicked and vile than anything you have ever laid your eyes on in this world. The book of Luke chapter number 8 and verse number 43. Luke 8, 43. A woman was having an issue of blood. It had been 12 long years. She spent all her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. Here's a picture of sin draining your life away. That's what's happening. She's bleeding. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I've given it to you upon the altars in atonement for the soul. The life of the flesh is in the blood. I said to a nurse one time, I said, there's an organ that touches every part of your body. Every single part of it. She says, there is. I said, absolutely. There's nowhere in your body you can go that you can't find. So what's that? Blood. Blood. And you cut off the blood supply to your foot and your foot will die. You cut off the blood supply to your leg and it'll die. The life of the flesh is in the blood. How did Moses know that? 1,400 years before Christ. Tell me, those that are scientific, you know, they worship science. How did he know that? That the life of the flesh was because they bled George Washington to death nearly. That was medical science of his day. How did Moses know that? 1,400. I'll tell you, he knew it. God gave it to him. And this woman was bleeding. Her life was fading away. How many of you wives have seen a change in your husband? How many of you husbands have seen a change in your wife? How many of you seen a change in your children? How many of you watch things change? Change! Change! And you wish you could stop it. You have no power to stop it. You can't stop it with the flesh because it's a spiritual problem. There's only one way to stop it, and that's the blood of Christ. His blood will stop the bleeding. Amen. 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 Draining her life away. In the book of John chapter number 6 and verse 16, when evening was now come, his disciples went down to the sea and entered into a ship and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was dark and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they rowed 5, 20, or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea. This is the Creator. This is the one who said to the sea, to the wind, to the sea, peace be still. This is the one who can walk on the water. Folks, I have no problem at all in believing that everything out there came forth from the mouth of an almighty eternal God. But what a poor, deluded fool. And it all began with a lot of dust, fire, and some serious impacts. From this, the sun, moon, earth, and life as we know it were all created. Lord have mercy. Does your teacher believe that? Does your PhD chair over here at some university believe that? They got head problems. Amen. Say why, preacher? It's because I want you to believe the Bible. Charles Darwin started his evolutionary garbage back in the 1800s. He wasn't original with it, but it started. And my friend, look what they've done with it. This day they take these little children in there and they brainwash them. They wash their minds and then they fill it full of junk. And somebody said, well, now we can't have religion in our school system. I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about intelligent design. Well, we can't have it. Why not? Why can't you debate? Why can't you give them both sides? I'm not against teaching them the other one, but let them compare them. Let's find the foundation for this and the foundation for that. What, are you afraid of it? What's the problem? Look what you're producing. Did you know that 50% of millennials today, I think it was 1825, 1830, somewhere in there, 18-year-olds, millennials, half of them don't even believe in God. They don't care about God. They care less about a God. Half of them. Where'd you get that? They got it from the same ignoramus that believes this about the creation. They're up in front of your kids trying to teach them. I love kids. I saw a thing yesterday. It blew my mind. Hadn't seen anything like that in a long time. This little girl, beautiful, cute little thing, sitting in a room. She's sitting in there. This woman comes through the door, and the little girl looks up at her. And you have to know what it's about to understand why she acted the way she did. That little girl sitting there, or standing there, woman walks through the door, and she says something to the little girl. Man, that little girl jumped up. And she ran up there and just jumped into the arms of that woman. I mean, it was one of the most heartwarming things. You need to see stuff like that to remind you that there's life somewhere. Jumped right into that woman. And that woman grabbed her and hugged her. Hey, you know what it was all about? She'd just been adopted. That's the good stuff, folks. She'd just been adopted. When I was 4 years old, I showed up the door of my grandfather. I was 4, same age as that little boy that monster murdered the other day. I might have been a little older than him, but I wasn't 5, quite 5. I showed up at the door of my grandfather and my little brother in my hand. And he was just a little over 1 year old. And the two of us had traveled miles to get to that door. and I was taking my little brother, and we were going to find a home, and I went to that door, and my grandfather came to that door, and he opened that door, and his eyes lit up, and he said, "Callie, look at what's at the front door." And she came in there, and there we stood. And what I was simply saying to them was, "I got no home. I got nowhere to go. My mother is drunk. And my brother is hungry. And here I am. Will you give us a home?" And from that day on, my grandfather took us into his house. And he became my daddy. That became my home until I went off in the military. Isn't that wonderful? How many of you kids are looking for a home? How many kids are looking for somebody to love you? How many of you kids have moms and dads? The only thing they care about is a new car, a new house, new clothes, new this, new that, new this, this. They don't care if you live or die. How many of you live in a home like that? Love is the greatest thing you can give a child. Amen. It's wonderful because children want to be loved. They want to be accepted. They want to be part of what's going on. As far as I know, from all indication, had my grandfather not taken me in and my little brother, we would probably have gone to a home somewhere. And John Tarleton is one local home, and this is nothing against John Tarleton. God bless him over there for having that home, because I've got first cousins that grew up at John Tarleton. But my grandfather took me in. Hallelujah to God. Amen. I'd fight you to the death for that man. His picture's all over my house. William Riley Weaver means more to me than any other human being ever walked this earth outside of my dear nearest family, my wife, and those near to me. That was my home and my family. Have you feel the same way? You feel that way? You ever been blessed like that? You ever been blessed like that? Out here in San Francisco and Los Angeles, they've got these four folks out on the street. Out the street, they're living in tents, and some of them just shacked here and shacked there and piece of wood here, nothing. And there was an interviewer went by and started talking to some of them. Interviewed one and said, "Why are you here? What happened to you?" He said, "My little baby died." He said, "My little baby died, and I couldn't handle it. My little baby died, and I couldn't handle it, and this is where I wound up." Talked to another one, said essentially the same thing. "My little child died, and this is where I wound up." Some of them were drug addicts, this and that. We're all out there. Nobody didn't start out in drugs to destroy their life. They started out in drugs because some dirty, low-down, stinking bum invited them into drugs. Offered them the first drug. Drug pusher, probably. But boy, did it ever take hold of them. It's like Peter. When he was walking in the sea and he started to sink, and he reached up and took hold of the hand of the Lord. Sinking down. Sink it down. You're singing Ed Ballou's songs, brother. You don't understand what's going on here today. I'm about to quote something Ed Ballou used to sing. Sinking down, sinking down. That's where he found me. He didn't find me in church. I wasn't any good. Some of you are too good to be saved. You're too righteous. You are. You are. When was the last time you got on your knees instead of some emotional workup job? When was the last time you really got your heart down here and got on your knees before God and began to pour out your soul for who you really are? Listen to this. Sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, sinking down. When I was sinking down, Christ laid aside his crown for my soul, for my soul. Christ laid aside his crown for my soul. Ed Ballou used to sing that all the time. Sinking down, that's where I was. Going deeper and deeper and deeper and getting darker and darker and darker. Bound more and more and more. Until the time comes when there's Joel. Jonah did when he was in the belly of the whale. He said, "I woke up and here I'm seaweed wrapped around me. The gates of hell before me. Here I am." That's where you're headed without the Lord Jesus. That's where you're going without him. Sinking down. Sinking down. Sinking down. Over here in the book of Matthew chapter 8 verse 1 it says, "When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. The Lord put his hand forth, touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Brother Tommy Tillman comes by. And Brother Tillman, by the way, if you didn't know this, he's now with the Lord. Amen. Brother Tillman is like Brother Ed Ballou. He's one of my great heroes. Greatest respect in the world for Tommy Tillman. Amen. He went over there and he ate with the lepers. He slept under the bridges with the lepers. He learned the Thai language. He ministered to these people. He took photographs of them. Then he brought them in here and he showed us what progressed in leprosy. A lot of us, it was the first time in our lives we'd ever seen anything like that. Leprosy. Nubs for hands. Nubs for feet. Whole legs gone. But I learned something I didn't know about that just recently. You know what it was? Leprosy doesn't cause your joints to fall off. Leprosy does not cause your fingers to fall off or your legs. So what does it do, preacher? It destroys the feeling, the nerves. It destroys them. You hit that. You hurt that. You don't feel it. It gets infected. The infection destroys the joint and they begin to fall off. What a picture of sin. What a picture of sin. You start out feeling it. You got a conscience. It bothers you. Every one of you in this house this morning, you remember the first time you ever did some sorry low down thing. But the more you did it, the easier it got. The easier it got. The easier it got. What's happening? Leprosy is eating up your nerves. And you don't feel it anymore. But it doesn't stop the damage. It doesn't stop the damage. You may not feel as bad about what you're doing today as you did when it started. But it doesn't change the ramifications of it. You bruise yourself. You hurt yourself. And when you do, infection sets in. And when infection sets in, you start losing this, losing that. You start dying a little here and dying a little there. Isn't it an awful thing to watch somebody die in stages? I've watched that time and time again. Die in stages. Just wear down, die. Take them a year to die, 2 years to die, 3 years to die. And just watch them waste away. And that's exactly what leprosy's doing to you. You're just wasting away. When I say to you today, all he has to do is say to you is live. Live. Grab that word live. Grab it. Embrace. You say that to me, Lord? You mean to me, Lord? Me? You don't know me, Lord. You know what? Listen. He knows everything you've ever done or everything you wanted to do, everything you missed doing. He knows everything there is to know, but he knows more about you than you know about you. Amen. And yet he says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. Come. He says, come. Come. How many of you today are doing things that a year ago bothered you? You don't have to raise your hand. We're not going to have some kind of, interaction feel-good circle where you share your... If you want to know the truth about it, folks, there's an awful lot of things that I don't confess to people. I've got a past. And it's past, thank God. But I know where I came from. I wasn't born into a preacher's home. My family wasn't full of preachers. I know where I came from. But I also know the grace of God. I know the grace of God. That's how it works. TV's getting more vile. Oh, Lord. Filthy. Godless. Every day. How many of you are watching stuff today that a year ago you would have turned off or been bothered by? But today you're watching it. Got any kids in the house? They're watching it too. Well, I take them to church on Sunday. Sure, that's the problem. You take them to church on Sunday, and then for the week you live like hell in front of them. You make a mockery of everything that's been preached in church. Right? Is that the truth? Am I telling you the truth? Listen, for a four-year-old that'll take hold of the hand of his little brother and will walk outside of that house and go and throw a blanket over our heads because it's pouring the rain and walk and find our way to our grandfather's house, what do you think I am? I'm not a follower. I'm a leader to my soul. What does that mean? That means I think. There's an awful lot of junk in the Baptist church When I got saved, but I was ignorant and didn't know anything, until years later I learned. And when I learned, friend, just listen to me for a little while and you'll find out that I'm not what most of them are. I'm not following anybody anywhere till I figure it out for myself and make sure I know what they're talking about. I want to know. And if you come and try to force me to believe something, you're wasting your time. We had a guy show up here last Sunday, sitting there. Came in here and tried to present the idea that repentance is not part of salvation. Listen, folks, if you don't repent, you're not saved.
Amen.
So what do you mean? Are you saved because you repent? No. When you have saving faith, repentance is a fruit of it. That's when you trust Christ, that's going to happen. And how many of you have done that?
Amen.
How many of you have done it? How many of you are like this? How would to God you were? You try everything. Try everything I've said this morning. Be as the Bereans. Search the Scriptures. What's your teacher in school? Does she really know what she's talking about? Darwin, did he really know what he was talking about? Rattlesnake bites you. Injects poison into your body. Did the rattlesnake figure out how to do that? Huh? Why was it ever done to begin with? How did that thing come to be what it is? Mosquito sticks its thing in your body. Its pincer, whatever it is. Goes in there. Your blood coagulates. That's natural. Okay? That means that it can only get so much blood out of your body because it's going to get thick and it can't draw it out. So what does it do? It injects a blood thinner. A smart mosquito.
Yeah.
Think about it. That's a smart mosquito, right? Here you are, a man. I'm a man, okay? Been one for 74 years. Are you sure you're a man? I'm a man. I'm a male. I have no problem with my gender. When a man sees a woman, he's drawn to what he sees. How many of you men agree with what I'm saying to you?
Amen.
All right? That's just nature. You're not drawn to another man, but you're drawn to the woman. Why? Because something about her that is put inside you that makes you what you are. And now think about what I'm saying for a minute. Who did that? Did nature do that? You mean Mother Nature can tell me how to think? Mother Nature can move upon the desires of who I am? That's way above Mother Nature. Amen. I feel sorry for them. Sorry, bunch of ignorant idiots. They call themselves scientists. I have nothing but pure contempt. I do nothing but contempt for their so-called science. Father, in Jesus' name, pray, Lord, use your word. Get me out of the way and bless these dear folk. In thy holy name I pray. Amen. Brother, what do we got here?
Psalm page 374 in the All-American Church Hymnal. No, wrong page. 376, All-American Church Hymnal. Nothing but the blood.